Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Brother, a little proud uncle moment for a second, and an admission. My nephew, who's in seventh grade, just played his first ever football game down in Wichita. He's a kicker because he plays soccer. Two extra points and had a kickoff that went through the end zone and out the back.
Nice.
Wow. I'm going to have to be nicer to this kid.
Yep.
I'm going to have to be like, Sam.
It's exciting.
It's old Uncle Scotty calling again. Yeah, this is the third time you've called today, Uncle Scott. I just want to make sure you're doing okay.
How often do you see them?
I don't know. Once every 2 months, 3 months.
Start making more frequent trips to Wichita.
Sadly, I haven't been to Wichita in over 2 years. Mm-hmm. They come here a lot. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to have to start going down there because I need to get in the will.
Yep.
Or at least get my house paid for when he makes $1 million in the NFL.
Do you guys see General Mills' new parental leave policy that just came out?
No.
This thing is pretty sweet.
For the dads or the moms?
Everybody. Oh. Okay. They're going to offer 18 to 20 weeks paid leave for mothers, 12 weeks for parental leave or paternal leave, which is fathers, partners, and adoptive parents.
Okay.
And then anybody who just needs to care for somebody who's seriously ill in their family will get 2 weeks paid leave. Right off the bat.
Good.
And 4 weeks off for employees following the death of an immediate family member.
I did see a story today where I can't remember what company it is. It escapes me at the moment. Where they're now offering a 1 day paid day off when your dog dies.
Oh, you need that.
I need a week.
Well.
I figured, God forbid.
Need a week to party.
Huh?
I'd need a week to party.
What are they calling that the fraternity leave?
Hmm.
Fraternity.
I'm sorry?
Paternity.
Do not. Do not. Do not.
No, I don't believe they're calling it
do
that.
Do not call it fraternity. No. I reject the use of that term.
Is that what they're calling it? Is that really what they're calling it?
I just totally made that up.
I don't know, but that's awesome.
No, there is somebody. Yeah, okay. Fraternity leave.
No.
Look at this.
No.
It's from a Minneapolis marketing firm.
Nope.
It's for pet owners.
Can you imagine going into your boss with an absolute straight face? Like, just absolute straight face. Be like, hey, I totally forgot to tell you. I went to Whiteside Waste yesterday. Got a new cat. I'm going to need fraternity leave.
No, but no, not on the acquisition. But what about the death?
I think it depends.
Okay, well, this is only on the acquisition, so you don't get any time off.
No.
Yeah.
That's dumb.
No, it's so that you can train your puppy or your new kitten.
Shut up. That's dumb. You know what? I think it depends.
We had the best dumb dog when I was working at WIBW, so I would have been 20, 21, 22, something like that.
Okay.
And he got sick and sicker and sicker, and we were broker and broker. And it was some type of cancer. He had some growths, kind of like Stella did, but there were multiple growths underneath his skin. Mm. And when that dog passed and Joe buried that dog in my parents' yard, I'll never forget it. I cried, like I was choking. I was crying so hard. And I remember thinking, like, I can't go to work today. There's no way.
You're an ugly crier.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Ask anyone at Starbucks over the last 3 weeks.
Or Wendy's 5 years
right.
ago.
Right. So I get it. I do.
However.
I flatly and roundly reject the notion of fraternity leave.
Now, what about...
Do you like paw-ternity better?
No, I don't like either one of those things.
Paw-ternity.
So bad.
What about when a dog dies? What is fair?
For you?
Yeah.
2 days.
2 days for Stella?
Yeah.
What about for Tank?
Because here's the problem.
Half a
if
day,
you take
a morning?
5 days for Stella, and then you take 5 days for, let's say, I don't
I'm
know,
not gonna,
your mother,
I'm,
that's a problem.
I'm not going to, I always say I'm going to take a week off when Stella
I
dies.
Know.
I'm not.
I know
but I'm definitely going to take at least a day. I'm not going to be able to go on the air that day. I'm going to be a wreck.
I think you'd be surprised. You come here and you talk about it. I mean, I came here, well, I didn't actually. I was going to say I came here when I dropped Jack off. No, I didn't. Sorry. I took the day off.
He wasn't dying. He was going to school.
And it was probably a better thing that you took the whole day off, wasn't it?
It was, because on my way back, I remember thinking, there's no way. And I said the day before, I think I'll be able to come in. Like, maybe around 4, I'll
yeah,
come
she goes,
in.
Yeah, I'll be in by 4.
I'll be in. Yeah. And Scott goes, no, you won't.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got this.
I'm not stupid.
I this got this.
First, this ain't my first rodeo. I knew she wouldn't be in.
You make me laugh.
When Stella dies, I'll probably take... Well, the day she dies, and then 2 days after that. Is that fair?
I suppose.
And then I'm just going to sit there and have her taxidermied and...
Are you really?
Put up
I
by the front door.
When my grandma was in a home...
And I'll pet her.
In Topeka.
Rubber and say, oh, you're so beautiful.
Kara.
Even in death.
We walked into this home to see her. And it wasn't a nursing home. It was more independent living. She hadn't had a stroke yet. She was still... there with her, you know, people her age. And two things. I'll never forget getting on the elevator. And my grandpa had passed. And my mom turned around in the elevator. And she saw this list, you know, come down at 9 a.m. for aerobics. 11 a.m. we're going to do music therapy. 3 p.m. we've got bingo. And then we're going to do a movie night at 5. And my mother, I will never forget it, said, well, Dorothy, look at all of these activities. You should go down and do aerobics. Look, they've got a movie night at 5. She pauses and goes, it's just for a bunch of old people. My mom's like, you're 78. Just for a bunch of old people.
You know,
but I will never, wait, we took the kids in to see her. You know, nice lobby. Everyone was very sweet, very welcoming. There's a grandfather clock to the right. There's the formal living room to the left. Mm-hmm. All of those lobbies look the same. And at the foot of that grandfather clock, I swear to Moses, someone had stuffed a cat. Not a look-alike cat, not one of those fake cats that you pet. It was a stuffed cat. And I could tell because Sophie went down and she said, oh, look, a kitty. And I go, oh, my God, don't touch that.
Well, it's not got
you
diseases.
You can see the stitching around the eyes. I'm like... Who thought it was a good idea to bring a dead stuffed cat into an... Are you going to pass it around to the residents? This is Fluffy. Pet Fluffy. No, let's not pet Fluffy. Fluffy died about 6 years ago. I am so creeped out by stuffed dead things.
I remember when I was a kid and my aunt and uncle had stuffed deer and foxes and all kinds of animals like all over their living room.
Why?
Like a moose?
Yeah, like it was that kind of... He had fish on the walls, all of it.
Like trophies?
Yeah.
Oh.
Freaked me out to walk through that room. Like every time I was
moose,
a kid.
I want a moose head trophy so bad. For
why?
The just because I wouldn't kill it, but if somebody has to kill it, somebody wants to know on the text line, if you have to take time off for the death of your pet, is that for bereavement?
Or there was the other one.
Grievement.
So bad.
You know, I know she's not ready for it because she is very independent and is functioning very well, but Maggie has started to look at like not nursing homes, but like assisted living and
where she could downsize essentially.
Yeah.
And have a little extra help.
I'm totally not cool with this. She's doing really well. And I thought, how morbid, Maggie. I mean, this is crazy.
Maybe she wants the socialization too.
Well, she gets it out at her place. I mean,
maybe you don't count enough.
She has friends. I mean, there are old people that live out there and they all get together and they play bingo and they you know, work out and whatever old people do.
Well, maybe all of her friends are talking about moving there, too. Did you ask her?
No, but I'm not okay with it. By the way, to 9297, the Gurr Reavement, that's actually pretty funny. Thank you for the laugh. Caremark's at Rod Babcock, Dinner at Scott Parks on KMBZ.
Hey, before winter gets here, have my folks at Seal Once KC come out and permanently protect and beautify all of those big ticket items on the outside of your home, your deck, your fence, your driveway, your patio. Their experienced team will come out, clean, and seal any wood or concrete surface with that clear, penetrating, permanent sealant. And they help eliminate some of the worries of replacing that stuff because they offer a 25-year warranty against deterioration when they do it. Think about your cracked and stained garage or basement floors. I've always said, if you're getting ready to put carpet in your basement, do not do that. Have them put down that decorative floor polymer coating. We did that 5 years ago, something like that. If you have teenagers or pets, it is the best thing you will ever do, hands down. I love that floor. It is so easy to keep clean. Seal Once KC has you covered. They will seal and clean all of that stuff for you and really bring that wow factor to your home. Call 816-942-3927 for your free estimate. Mention I told you to call. Get that 20% discount. Remember, with Seal Once, you seal it and forget it. Go to sealoncekc.com. Call 816-942-3927 today.
Foreigner. Story here from the New York Times, so its validity is in question.
Fabulous. What it is.
The Justice Department has lent its support today to students who are suing Harvard University over affirmative action policies that they claim discriminate not against white people, but against Asian Americans in a case that could have far-reaching consequences for the use of affirmative action in college admission. In a so-called statement of interest, the Justice Department supported the claims of the plaintiffs, a group of Asian Americans rejected by Harvard. They contend that Harvard has systematically discriminated against Asian Americans by artificially capping the number of qualified Asian Americans from attending the school in order to advance less qualified students of other races.
Harvard has said, another way to say it, we're putting a cap on the number of Asians we let in, or everyone we let in will be Asian.
Right.
That's essentially what they've said. We have to let white people in. We have to let Hispanic people in. We have to let black people in. We have to let Indian people in.
Oh, my God.
They can't all be Asian.
Yes.
And Asians sued, and the Justice Department
is backing them.
Is backing those students.
It's not a win, per se, but it is a victory. Okay, they haven't won the case, but they now have the backing of the Justice Department. And if I'm not mistaken, and I'll look it up, Harvard, minority, blah, blah, blah.
In what other private organization, Scott, could you say and get away with this statement? We at this private resort are only going to allow 18 Asians in our doors for membership. We will allow 45 whites, 6 blacks, 10 Hispanics, and that's what we are going to do in our private organization. Where would that be allowed?
Asian American students at Harvard make up 22% of the student body, a quarter, followed by 15% African Americans, 11% Hispanics, 2.5% Native American or Pacific Islander.
Where else would you be legally allowed to discriminate specifically based on race in admissions? Think about your private...
The masters?
Your private... country club is a great analogy. Any country club. Could they legally say, we've hit our Asian cap this year, we're not going to let in any more Asians? There's no way. There's no way that's legal. But colleges have been doing it for a long time.
Well, but for years, the Masters in Georgia would not admit women. If I'm not mistaken, Condoleezza Rice was the first woman admitted to that golf course.
She was.
Or club.
Can you legally discriminate based on ethnicity? And that's my question, is the Justice Department saying, or gender, is the Justice Department saying you cannot cap admissions based on race? Race is a protected class.
Mm-hmm.
So how have they gotten away with it this long, I guess, is my question.
I would always argue, and I have argued in the past, I hate affirmative action. I don't care if you're black, Asian, white, Hispanic. But
this is kind of the opposite of affirmative action, isn't it?
Yeah, kind of. But my point is the same. I don't care what you are or what you look like. We spend so much time. Hey, let me finish my point. We spend so much time in America talking about it doesn't matter if you're white. It doesn't matter if you're black. We're all the same. We all have red blood. Blah, 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 blah. We all look the same in God's eyes until we realize that we don't. And I don't care if Harvard is 100% Asian. If they are the most qualified, they should be the ones that get in. Period. Okay, go ahead.
But there's a but. Schools have looked at the numbers and what the numbers would look like if they were not allowed to say, we're going to take a certain number of these students and a certain number of these over here. Okay, we're going to take these guys over here. And the percentages would be dramatically skewed.
Dramatically Asian.
They would be dramatically skewed in if you looked at the population of that town or the population of any community, they would be skewed.
Let me ask you this, and I'll be brief because I know we got to get
to the
news.
The number, Scott, but was it 40% or 30% would be Asian if they let them all in?
I believe it would be higher than that.
Is it higher?
Yeah, it would be in the 40s, if I'm not mistaken.
So 40% of Harvard's campus
would be
Asian American.
More than 40%,
if
yes.
They are not allowed, if they just strictly have to go by
credentials,
mm-hmm. your essay, mm-hmm. your mm-hmm. GPA.
It would be over 40% Asian, yes. To the newsroom, here is Kara Markson.
A deadly bus crash reported in New Mexico. More next.
Hey, Kansas City, get ready to celebrate, get ready to save. It's Scott Parks here to tell you all about the huge Labor Day holiday savings happening right now at Nebraska Furniture Mart. Check out these offers that you don't want to miss. Save the tax. That's right. Save by the amount equal to the sales tax at the store on qualifying furniture, flooring, and NFM Plus TVs, home audio, and appliances. Shop with store-wide 40-month financing on purchases of $19.99 or more. That's on the Mart's incredible selection of furniture, flooring, appliances, and electronics. Take your football watching experience to a whole new level with $50 off qualifying TV or projector installation, and take 10% off suggested retail on select mounts and screens. See the store for details. The Mart has amazing deals for everyone, and they're coming through big time with this year's Labor Day holiday event.
5:30 in Kansas City from the KMBZ newsroom. I'm Kara Markser. A deadly collision between a semi-truck and a Greyhound bus this afternoon. ABC's Mark Remillard has more.
Authorities reporting that bus was headed from Albuquerque to Phoenix on I-40 when the collision happened. Greyhound, in a statement, says that there were 47 people on board the bus at the time. The New Mexico State Police say there are multiple deaths, though a hard number is not known at this time. First responders are on scene. I'm Mark Remillard, ABC News.
Kansas City police are investigating their 89th homicide of the year. A man in his 20s found shot near 40th and Park around 4:30 this morning. He was pronounced dead a short time later. Police don't have a suspect. Anyone with information asked to call the TIPS hotline. We'll check traffic and weather together next.
Mostly fair skies this evening. Really not too humid. Temperatures will fall back through the 70s. Down to 72 tomorrow morning, and as a warm front lifts toward us, you'll feel it in the afternoon hours. It'll also bring in another chance of some downpours and thunderstorms in the morning, giving way to a hot and humid afternoon. High temperature 91, but feeling like the mid to upper 90s on Friday. Front stalls out near us. That gives us a chance of rain Saturday, Sunday, and even into Labor Day itself. Temperatures fluctuating between the upper 80s to near 90 degrees and still feeling like the 90s just about each and every day. From Channel 9, I'm First Alert Chief Meteorologist Brian Busby, KMBZ Weather.
78 at KCI, it's 76 in Blue Springs, 76 at your official weather station. KMBZ is now on radio.com. Download the app and take us everywhere you go. Kara Markser, News 98.1 KMBZ.
Now there was a time. The heavy here on Dana Parks. So the Justice Department has sided with the Asian Americans who are suing Harvard, claiming that the cap on Asian American students at the school is illegal, unconstitutional. The Justice Department is backing the Asian American students.
However, 1 year ago, the Supreme Court upheld a University of Texas admissions plan that is a state
very famous case.
School. It's more than a year ago, actually. Pardon me.
It was like 3 years
that
ago.
That allows race and ethnicity to be considered as one of many factors in admission. But some legal experts noted that Justice Alito, in his dissent, said that the Texas plan discriminated against Asian Americans, mm-hmm. and they saw that as a future theme to be pursued by opponents of affirmative action.
The story out of Texas involved a white woman who was the plaintiff who was denied admission to the University of Texas mm-hmm. in favor of a young black woman, if I'm not mistaken, whose ACT scores and grades were not as good. And the Supreme Court ruled against the white young lady, if I'm not mistaken, I'm going off memory here, and in favor of the university, saying that the university had every right to take into consideration the race of the other student. Here's what I would like to say, and let me preface all this by saying I have a real problem with the use of race in admissions in any regard. If Harvard ended up being, and by the way, Harvard's a private school, not a public school like the University of Texas. If Harvard ended up being 100% Asian, I would not care. I would not care. And it wouldn't. We all know that. However, here's my larger point. If we're going to do this with admissions, where the universities have to look like America, so 65% of the population at the university has to be white, and 11.5% has to be black, and 2% has to be Asian, and 20% has to be Hispanic. What about sports programs? What about at the University of Kansas, a public institution of which I hold a diploma? Why is it that the University of Kansas basketball team isn't forced to be 65% white?
Two Asians,
12% black,
one Indian or Islander,
Pacific
person.
Let's throw in a token Asian. We'll throw in a couple of Hispanics. Bill Self, I would bet, would have a problem with that.
I am completely torn down the middle on this topic, and here's why, Scott. It is a finite, very limited commodity. That incoming class of freshmen is, what, 1,600 kids out of tens of thousands that apply. Mm-hmm. Let's say it's 2,000. Let's be generous. There are 2,000 freshmen. It is a very limited number of slots, and I think I'm being generous. 2,000, okay? You have to decide when you have 50,000 people applying how you are going to allow 2,000 out of 50 to come in. Is it just test scores? I would argue it shouldn't be.
It should be.
It should not be. No.
They're there for an education.
No. Test scores are one thing I think colleges have to look at. What if you can't carry on a conversation with the person next to you? They have to look at all kinds of things. Just because you're a good test taker, some of the most brilliant people in America weren't good test takers.
But let me ask you a question. You were arguing during the commercial break, as you and I were talking off the air about this, that schools have to be diverse. You need that diversity. And whether the school is all white or whether it's all Asian, which Harvard would not become but could become much more Asian if they allowed in the most qualified candidates, you were arguing during the break that this would take away from the diversity of the university. And that's where you go to expand your horizons.
Right.
let me take Grambling State University as an example.
Okay.
Georgia Southern University as an example. Historically, predominantly, but not exclusively, black colleges.
Howard.
Howard is a good example as well. Thank you. Now, there are white students, a few, that attend these predominantly black universities.
Okay.
Would you argue that Grambling should be forced to increase the number of white students admitted, or Georgia Southern, to increase the diversity to allow these black students to expand their horizons yeah. as far as their education is concerned?
Probably not.
Why? Because they're black.
Because Howard is a traditionally black college.
But what about diversity?
Let me read this sentence and then I want to ask you something. Maybe it's not discrimination in the way that we think, okay? And this is horrible, but I'm going to read it. This is from the New York Times. A Princeton study found that students who identify as Asian need to score 140 points higher on the SAT than whites to have the same chance of admission to private colleges, a difference some have labeled the Asian tax. So if I'm white and you're Asian and we're both applying to Harvard, mm-hmm. the Asian has to have at least 140 points higher mm-hmm. than the average, mm-hmm. at least, to be on my same square footing. Let me ask you this. What if it's not, but think about it a different way, Scott. Follow me here. What if it's not discrimination overall? Okay, so let's look at the whole pool of Harvard. They're not discriminating overall. What if they are being selective within each subgroup of ethnicity? Follow me here. They're not discriminating an Asian against a white. They are being very selective within the pool of Asians. We're going to take the top, the ones who have better than other Asians on the SAT. Within the pool of whites, here's the aggregate. We're going to take the cream of the crop out of there. We're going to take the cream of the crop out of the black students applying, and we're going to take the very top out of the Hispanics. So then you're not discriminating overall. You are being highly selective within each ethnic group.
But you're basing, and we need to get some calls here, and we will. You're basing your admission based on a predetermined algorithm of we're only going to accept X number of Asians, okay? So here, let me draw a chart here real quick.
So 10,000 Asians apply.
Listen, I know you guys can't see the chart, but all right, here is the median, okay? But here are the Asians, all right?
Yep, they're
okay,
up there.
Right there?
Yep.
And then here is the whites, okay? But we're going to accept only this. This is the line you have to have to get into Harvard,
right?
Okay? But we're only going to accept these
the
Asians.
The line is higher if you're Asian.
But we'll accept these whites where the line is below the acceptance line.
But it's still the higher out of all of the white people, the highest of the high from the white
people.
But
what about all these Asians over here who are smarter than these white people over here and more qualified to get an education at an elite school like Harvard? It's not fair to them. It is racism. You're allowing a group of people to be admitted based not on their qualification, but strictly on the pigment of their skin.
No. Say it the other way. You're not allowing them to be admitted based on the pigmentation of their skin. You are rejecting
others.
48,000
Asians
others.
Because
no,
they're,
all others. They're rejecting
because
whites.
Because their skin's
they're
yellow.
They're rejecting blacks. They're rejecting Hispanics. Ask anyone who's ever applied to Harvard. Most of them are rejected.
I understand, but you're rejecting a group that is clearly qualified based on nothing more than the way that they look, and that is racism. Plain and simple. You're admitting this group not because of their qualifications, because they're underqualified over here. You're admitting them.
They're not underqualified within their own aggregate.
You're making my point. You're making my
point. Of other white students.
You just made my point. You're admitting them because they're smarter than the average dumb white person. The key word is white. The key word here would be Asian. You're rejected because you're Asian.
But if Harvard goes to 45% Asian, which is what's going to happen, White people will then come out of the woodwork and start suing, saying you are allowing too many based on race. Now you're discriminating against me.
Larry in Blue Springs. Hello, Larry.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Hi.
Doing well, thank you.
I'm one of the first people that was affected by this in the 70s when I took the police exam in, can I say what city?
No, no. Please don't.
Okay, big city. 10,000 exam people took the examination. I scored 104 out of almost 10,000 that took the test. I got interviewed after that for the police academy. And passed that. They did a background check. The ACLU came in and said they have to pick and choose and reach this diversity. I did not get to the academy that year. I should have been in the top 10% of the scoring. I should have gotten in. I am white. Found out later, my mother sent me called me and said, you got a letter from the police department. Do you have a ticket? And I said, no, I'm living on the West Coast. And she said, oh, I said, open it. Welcome to the police academy in September. You have been accepted.
Hmm.
9 years later.
Wow.
9 years. I had to wait till it picked the top 10% white male.
Yeah. Hey, Larry, thank you for the call.
Jonathan in Kansas City. Jonathan, hello.
Hey, how are you doing?
Hey. Doing well, thanks.
Okay. So, and you kind of mentioned this, the Supreme Court has taken on this issue many times in many landmark cases. I guess, like a lot of Supreme Court issues, they keep bringing the issue up in the court again and again. I think part of that is because the lawyers, they know these justices switch all the time. You know, they switch who occupies these seats, and that might switch how the cases go. I think they will bring it up again. We have four liberals, we have four conservatives, and we have one vacancy. I know the Senate starts hearings on Kavanaugh next week. I think they will confirm him in a very narrow vote, and I think he'll be the fifth vote. He's going to be very to the right of Kennedy. I think that's going to swing it. And I think they could well reverse affirmative action and a lot of other issues that they've issued liberal decisions on, which I think is why that vacancy is going to be very important. And they could very well ask him at the hearings, what do you think of affirmative action?
Oh, absolutely. You know? And I think they should.
Well, but you know what? And I agree with this. I'm a big believer in the Ginsburg rule. I believe, look, if the president wins, you know, once they've won, they have their vacancies. They're entitled to fill whoever they want, and I don't think it's any of their business, the justices' viewpoints.
But
because they're not going to answer the questions anyway, number
one. No, they're not.
And number two, let's say I promised I'm going to vote this way. Once you confirm
sure.
a justice...
Yeah, doesn't mean they have
do
to.
Whatever they, want. They can do whatever they want, Kennedy.
Jonathan, yeah, don't so you believe, though, matter. This should be settled law? At some point, they just need to say yes or no.
Well, if you want settled law, you have to... Okay, just like the slavery issue 150 years ago, that was never settled law. They kept, well, we think this about African-Americans. Well, we think that. So what they finally had to do is say, you know what? We're going to end it. We're going to amend the Constitution, and that's the end of it. And I think maybe that's the way we got to do it. We have to amend the Constitution, because otherwise... The court can keep changing its mind as the justices change.
Very quickly, just so I know that we're on the same page, you said you like the Ginsburg rule, which is a president gets their choice, and
that's right.
Elections have consequences. We've all heard that line before. Did you feel the same way about Merrick Garland?
I think that's a little different, and here's why.
It's not a little different. No, it's not.
Hold on. Please let me explain, okay? If you go back to the 1840s, there were several presidents we had, and I think actually you go to John Quincy Adams. He tried to nominate somebody in the last few months of JQA's term. The Senate was a different party, and they took his nomination and they said, no, we're going to give it to your successor, Andrew Jackson. He appointed the successor, and he got seated on the court. So our tradition of, okay, once an election goes underway, that goes back to the 1820s with John Quincy Adams. And a lot of people never mention that. And so, you know, our back to the Whig Party and the Federalists, our government has always done that with the Senate.
I understand Merrick Garland was nominated 11 months prior to the end of, not a few months, but 11 months prior to the end of Barack Obama's term.
There was also a vacancy in the 1840s.
Okay, all right. Obviously, we're not going to agree here. You can go back and find a million, but Merrick Garland, whether you like Obama or not, and I never voted for the man, but I thought Merrick Garland should have gotten an up or down vote. Just say yes or no. At least give the guy the courtesy of a vote. Dana Wright, Rod Babcock, Scott Parks on KMBZ.
Dana Wright here for Kriegel Mesh Diamonds. You looking to buy a diamond? You looking to sell a diamond? Give Scott and Steve a call. They are wholesalers. I tell you this all the time. The diamond will be bigger. The price will be about half. About half. Sometimes more than half. We've talked to all kinds of clients over the last several years who will say we shopped all around and they were able to save us a ton of money. You can get the diamond of your dreams for about half price when you shop the wholesale market. Scott and Steve don't even have a receptionist on staff to answer the phone. They don't have a staff. It is just Scott and Steve. And if you have never shopped the wholesale market in fine jewelry, you'll never go back. I don't know why you would. Wait until you see the prices. Call them, see what they can do for you. 913-660-9609. 913-660-9609 by private appointment only or KriegelMeshDiamonds.com.
Try to get everybody in. Let's go to Susan in Lee's Summit. Susan, hello. Good afternoon.
Hello. You're mentioning Grambling and the Southern and the HBCUs.
Man, Georgia Southern, all those, yeah.
Yeah. They were created for a purpose because back then black people could not get into other schools. They were not accepted. You have Lincoln University in Jefferson City. That's why that was created. It's an HBCU. My father lived in the area of Columbia. They were not allowed to go to high school there. They had to be bused into Jefferson City just to go there, and that's why Lincoln University started. Mm-hmm. If you take a look at those HBCUs now, they've changed some of their business ways. They are catering, yes, to kids who don't have an education or can't get an education somewhere else because of the money. They provide a lot of college grants and helping them that way. And so I think there is still a need for those HBCUs. If you go to Lincoln University in Jefferson City, you'll find that probably 40% of their enrollment is not black. It's white and other people because they have to reach out to people who need education, who are doing continuing education, nursing, things like that. So those HBCUs have changed and broadened their scope since they were created. So yes, they're known as HBCUs, but they reach out to everyone.
You're saying that Grambling University, for example, is not primarily black anymore?
I'm saying Lincoln University is not primarily black anymore. And I'm saying if you look at Grambling, the students that go there are going there majority because of the financial support they're getting. They may not be able to afford a Kansas University or K-State or MU. And so they go to a Lincoln University or a Southern. Now, you're looking at Morehouse and Spelman. That's a different story.
Now, Grambling, by the way, Grambling, which I think is probably the most recognized HBU, historically black university.
I would say not. I would say Morehouse and Spelman, especially
okay.
Morehouse.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Fine. But Grambling, for example, is 91% black.
Okay.
It is less than 1% white.
Okay.
So there isn't a lot of diversity there. Would you
agree?
Yeah,
possibly not there, but that's not typical of all HBCUs. And I would ask you to go further into Grambling, and what do they offer their students? They're promoting the education and financial aid that a lot of these students wouldn't get other places, wouldn't be able to go into. I mean, there are so many ways in HBCUs that you can get financial aid. Mm-hmm. I mean, the sororities, the black fraternities, you know, they don't disband right after you graduate college, like a lot of the white fraternities and sororities. The Delta Sigma Thetas and the AKAs and the other ones, they're there for life, and they fund those education for those kids, whether they're black or white.
Okay, and this This Lincoln University, is this the one you're talking about? Is this the one in Missouri?
Yes, Lincoln University.
Okay, it is.
In Missouri. It's an HBCU.
Yeah, it is 42% black. I'm not arguing. Susan, before you, I don't know if you came into this conversation thinking I was going to argue with you. I'm trying to look up this stuff. It is 42% black, 46% white.
Yeah.
About 2% Hispanic, give or take. Mm-hmm. And 6%, we don't know who we are.
Mm-hmm. And they're filling the need in the community. And I'm not being defensive. I'm just saying, you look at those HBCUs, they're not as traditional as you think they are as far as all black, no white. They're branching out. They have to.
Okay. All right. Thank you for the call. Jonathan, we are coming up right after the 6 o'clock news. We got to run. On behalf of our producer today, the finest man in all of America, the great Rod Babcock. My good friend and co-host Dana Wright, I am Scott Parks, and God willing, we're all back tomorrow at 2 o'clock for Festivus Friday. Have a great evening. Be safe. Be good.
Happening now on KMBZ, a deadly bus crash in New Mexico. More next.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.